what it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah.
Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing today?
You know what? I am doing just fine.
Just fine.
I'm happy to do the podcast. We always talk before for a minute. I said I'm a little, I've gained a couple of pounds. I don't work well in humid weather either. I've always been like that. I'm a little, you said the words and it described it perfectly. I'm a little uncomfortable in my own skin this morning. I'm a little tired. I haven't been sleeping. The weather's been just sticky gross, like 40 degrees and high humidity in my hair. I haven't had a good hair day in a week. Anyway, but that's okay. We're not here to talk about the weather. Maybe someday we'll be in episode 105 and we'll think, well, we got nothing left to talk about. Time to talk about the weather, but not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
You look good.
This moment, thankfully, I am, you know, of course we're all always kind of going through things and, I certainly am going through some things, but, I'm embracing it as well as I can. And I know that we've talked about it on some previous podcasts, and it is kind of the AA philosophy. It's one day at a time, baby, one day at a time. And I'm really in that right now. And so I am just trying to appreciate the good things in my life, to be grateful for things. And, you know, we've picked an interesting topic. We've touched on a lot of heavy things in the last number of weeks, but we wanted to kind of lighten it up and embrace happiness and joy as our topic today. And so we're going to talk about some things that make us happy, some things that make us joyful, and, you know, ways that you can find happiness and joy in your life on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's a great topic to discuss.
I agree. And I like when you sit on your porch. I'm jealous. I've got a great sweater collection. Too hot to wear one. I'm jealous of your sweater.
Yeah.
Jealous of your beard. I'm feeling a lot of envy this morning. You should be a professional newscaster. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm gonna become the paper bag guy, and I'm gonna keep a bag on my head all the time. I just can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Sure enough.
Can't stand you.
You are who you are, and you look fantastic too.
Girls are just drooling there. But that's okay. That's okay. Listen, happiness and joy.
Happiness and joy.
Can we get a definition all the way from Tottenham?
Absolutely, absolutely. We, usual story here. I go through a few different things.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, The first definition of happiness is typically happiness is an emotional state characterized by feelings of joy, satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment.
Okay.
While happiness has many different definitions, it is often described as involving positive emotions and life satisfaction.
Positive emotions and life satisfaction.
Yes, yes. I'm going to go a little further. I looked up some synonyms for happiness as well. And the synonyms for happiness are bliss, contentment, delight, elation, enjoyment, euphoria, exhilaration, glee, joy, laughter, optimism, peace of mind, pleasure, prosperity, and well-being.
Wow, that's quite a list.
A lot of stuff there, right?
Couple TV shows in there, Glee, Euphoria.
Yes, Bliss. Isn't that one too?
I think so too.
Too, yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, so it almost feels nice just reading those words, which is
it does.
Interesting, it does. Right?
I like Euphoria. I don't know why. Euphoria, never mind the TV shows. I don't think it's a happy show, but
Yeah.
Euphoria makes me feel like you're happy all over, like your whole well-being. It's like I picture that with being, I hate to say this, but being stoned or something. Like you're just sitting there and everything's euphoric, man. It's just great.
100%. And I was reading, I've got a book recommendation today again, but I was reading another book by Eckhart Tolle called A New Earth. And he talks about how, especially when we consume drugs and alcohol, that there is often a euphoria that comes along with that. And euphoria is a feeling of, or state of intense excitement and happiness,
Right.
right? So, I think early on, I mean, we're not doing addiction, but it is
No.
something to touch on here, because early on, and certainly when you're younger and you consume alcohol, there is a euphoria that you can get from that, because it's kind of a state of inhibition. Like you
Yeah.
just become sort of
It's
uninhibited, right?
the chemical reaction of drinking. But it's also
Yeah.
you're doing something that you're not really supposed to be doing. It's cool. Your parents wouldn't want you doing it. It's
Yeah.
the whole thing is a euphoric experience. It's more fun than it's a lot different than some 50-year-old alcoholic sitting in a bar by himself drinking. It's not the same experience. It's a
Of
whole
course.
different deal.
Yeah, there's an excitement to it, right? It's
Exactly.
new, and it's like, wow, okay, wow, I feel all these things that, whether they're real or sort of falsely created, you get this like sense of joy and love for people, and you may be able to express that when in a situation where you are intoxicated,
Right.
your emotion, like people used to always say, well, the truth always comes out when you're drinking, right? And
Exactly.
there was a sense to that. But of course, yeah, it comes to a heightened point, and then it starts to go down, right? And then there's
Yeah.
that, as you
Well,
said, there's that.
people hit on each other in bars because it takes off the edge. It takes off the, you know, it lets loosens you up and lets you be a little more open. But the other part you said in with euphoric is it's that instant, like it's really quick. That's the problem. That's where addiction comes, and I'm going to stop on this throws, but addiction is the problem is it makes you happy up here,
Yeah.
but you come down, but you can't be that happy. You physically can't be that happy as you are on opiates, on cocaine, on drugs. So then you think, oh shit, you got to get back there, you know? I remember Joel Silver, the famous director. He was a heroin addict one time, and he said the first time he took it was heaven. It was the ultimate experience. He
Yeah.
said, I never got it again, ever. He said, it ruined my life. Even when I stopped, even though I'm not an addict anymore, I
Yeah.
can't feel that way ever again. It was like he wished he'd never done it.
Yeah, because you're chasing a feeling that you had in a moment, but that feeling in that moment has so many outside factors. Like he may have been at a point in his life where he was successful, he had a nice home, and he was married, and all these other external factors
Right.
brought that moment to that crescendo. And I think, also, and I'm sure most addicts and alcoholics, whatever, would agree that there is this sense of chasing a high. Like you had this high and you're like, oh, if I could just only get back to that. And then
Yep.
you chase it to the point of potential destruction, because you're constantly trying
Oh,
to find that.
almost guaranteed destruction. You'll OD, you'll ruin your love, marriage, whatever, your job. I've talked to many people who've lost great jobs. You know, it is what it is.
Because you're
But
trying to,
you know what? I'm going to interrupt me and you. We're talking about addiction. I don't want to do it this morning.
No,
I started it. My fault.
No, I did. I did too.
Let's talk about happiness and joy. So, how would you like to do it? If you could have a few, you want to start with some examples of things that make you happy?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. And I think I'll preface it by saying that the things that I'm going to mention, they're external things. So they're situations or environments that I know when I'm in them, I feel happy and I feel joy.
You're making me happy with the big words. Preface it, caveat. Oh my goodness. Ooh la la, you're fancy this morning.
I try. Thank
What's
you.
in the
Wordsmith,
zeitgeist today? I don't know.
I just got to bring that one in.
It's the only thing I got, man.
You have others. We know you do. So, yeah, I know when I have a certain sense of exuberance when I'm at the beach. We've talked about this, for right? Sure. I love the water. I love the sand. I love the sound of the water. Like there are so many elements to it that touch my senses. Visually, auditory, there's a word for smell. Olfactory, how's that? Olfactory, huh?
I give up.
You know how I learned about that? I learned about that because of my mom with Parkinson's, because various stages of Parkinson's, you can have an olfactory. So you smell things that actually aren't even there, which is a wild thing to imagine.
I wonder if that's why they say you smell burnt toast or having a stroke or something. I wonder if it's...
Yeah, something. Yeah, it's like a signal. But
you
but
also get the physical thing of touching the sand, right? I mean,
100%. Walking barefoot in the sand, walking in the ocean, being in the waves. So I know for me, that's a real place of joy and happiness. I also love being in the woods. I love being in nature. I love to hike. I think what I also love about that is the sense of peace. It mentions peace of mind in the definition. I find that I'm very peaceful because it's quiet. It's kind of devoid of human interaction. It's just a physical place where I'm kind of with Mother Nature, where I hear birds, I can hear a river in the distance, the rustling of trees, the wind in the trees, the feeling of the dirt underneath my feet, looking at rocks, looking at mushrooms, flowers, all those things. They all kind of take me to what I would call like a quiet place. I love mountains. You know, I'm half Swiss. I've been to Switzerland many times. I'm grateful to have had those experiences. There's just something really magical about standing underneath a mountain because it's just so kind of powerful and monumental, and you know, having the physical strength and the capacity to climb it, to walk up a trail that thousands of people have walked up, and then to get to the top and look down, there's almost like a smallness in that that you find, where I become small in that. Like I realize that I'm just a little speck in the universe, and that here I am on this giant mountaintop. I can relate a story that my dad and I, and my brother and sister and mom, we were hiking in place called Wildhaus in Switzerland, and we got to a point. There was a farmer, and he had a like a little sheep barn, and we stopped to talk to him, and we kind of asked him where the trail went, and he said, "Well, you go up to the top there, but it's a like a knife edge cliff." Like he said, you know, be careful. Like it was like a 2,000 foot drop, and so it's funny because my dad was a rock climber when he was young, but he always had a fear of heights. So he told my sister and my mom and my brother to stay behind. I was probably maybe 13. So they were like 10 and 8. And they stayed, and dad and I just carried on the next like 300 meters. And we got to the top, and we laid down in the grass, and we literally were like holding the rock edge, and we looked, and the rock, like it came underneath us as though we were on like it came below us, concave below us. And
it's like
we
a Bugs Bunny cliff.
Oh my God. We looked down and we were just like, oh my God. But there was this feeling of like, it was exhilarating. Like it was so exhilarating. And you know, to have that experience and to realize like that is like that euphoria that we were just talking about was incredible. So those are certainly a few places that I find bring me joy and happiness. So
yeah, that's cool.
Problem with Ontario, there is no ocean or mountains, so that is difficult.
No, I just watched you drive like 2 days and you went straight to the beach and got in the ocean, man. I think it was, you seem like, it sounds maybe, I don't know, aloof, I don't know what the word is, but you seemed like a different man as soon as you got in the water. Like you seemed to be changed, it seemed to almost wash away a lot of the shit was going on with you. Like it was amazing, the transformation I thought when you hit that water.
It does, yeah. Just it brings some peace. It's almost like I can like escape my thoughts for a bit and just exist at the beach.
It was wild. The man I saw when you got here, then you went to the beach, you were like a different man. It was crazy. Shonda and I talked about it. It was really insane. I mean, I know there was more to it than that, but it was neat. It was neat, metaphorically anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's funny. I was listening to all the things you were saying.
Yeah.
I grew up, luckily. Sometimes I focus on the negative that dad sold the cottage. But to be thankful, I had the cottage for the first 20 years of my life. I got to spend every summer there on the beach, playing, you know, playing on the sandbars, going for walks, digging clams, listening to the ocean every night, going to sleep.
Yeah.
Had a lot of great times there with my girlfriend who became my wife. We had a little trailer my grandfather gave me. And you want to talk about happiness. Oh, my goodness, Chris. When I was in that trailer with her, we would. I always like to be, she won't do it here because making the bed's too hard. But I always like to have my bed in a corner and I like to be in the corner. I always like that. It felt secure and snug. I always like coziness. And we would crawl in that little trailer. We'd turn the heater on because it would be cool at night. And you'd wake up just gasping for air because it'd be like an oven in there. You know, you'd crank open the window. But I don't have a bad memory of that place in 20 years. I mean, it was my happy spot. And I'm not saying I was a beach guy. I don't like sand on me. I'm not like Shonda likes, I don't like that part. I've always been more of an indoor kid for sure.
Yeah.
And it's funny the things you said. I love the woods.
Yeah.
But what came to me immediately was my fears always ruined it for me because I get scared in the woods. If I was with a couple guys, I'd be fine, but never by myself. It just, this fear comes over me. I know that sounds, it just does. I'm scared of heights. I loved a mountain climb. I couldn't. And that's, I don't know. I kind of always been mad at myself that I a lot of things don't happen because of my fears, even when they don't even make sense. There's nothing particularly, you know, it's just a fear. I don't know what it is.
So tell me why you're fearful in the woods on your own. Was there something that happened that brings that fear about?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that I couldn't walk very far in the woods without, I got lost one time with my friends, but that didn't scare me. We had shotguns, but no, I just,
interesting.
I get scared. I'm not even, I'm a scaredy cat. I'll be honest. I won't even walk down the street at night, like Main Street at nighttime by myself. Like you put me with you and Mike and a few guys, I'm brave, but by myself, I won't do it. I don't know what it is.
So if we were doing like a therapy session here, like, could you really try to dig down and figure out what it is that you're scared of in the woods? Like getting lost or?
It's definitely getting lost. And it all kind of circles back to my family, my kids, even though my kids don't even live here anymore. They have wives and houses. I'm always scared of not being able to get back home. I do the same thing. We were going down to the Southern Islands for a few years in a row with Kingsdown. And I should be enjoying it, but all I could think of is how I couldn't get back home. Like I couldn't go back home if something was wrong. I couldn't get back home. I always said to my wife, I want to be landlocked. I want to be so I can get in a car and drive back to my house. I don't like the fact that I'm dependent on a plane getting me off an island. And I'm at I always have this draw of home. I'm always scared I can't get home. So there's definitely something in there that makes me that way. I was like that as a kid. I was always, I didn't drink a lot because I was scared I'd be out of control and couldn't get back home.
Right.
I was always a homebody and I was always a mama's boy. I was just what it was. I wanted to be home. So there's something. But anyway, I'm supposed to be talking about happiness.
Yeah, sure.
But and that cottage and that spot is happiness. And not just with my girlfriend. I remember being a kid, you know, playing games with my cousins and we would have a bonfire every night and we'd see the Northern Lights a lot. And then I got older. I put my ghetto blaster on and listened to Def Leppard and Quiet Riot and Terry Chapin. We loved to sing songs and roast marshmallows. And my dad and my uncle, I would get drunk and tell stories. And, you know, it was a great spot. We played cards, you know.
So this is going back 30 odd years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 30 or 40.
Can you, so Can you give other examples, or can you give like current examples of things that you do to find happiness and joy?
Current?
Yeah.
I got a couple, not quite as heavy. My dogs, especially my grand dogs, make me very happy. I mean, I don't get to see Maple as often, but you know, Maple stands on my, she's a corgi. She stands on my chest and licks my face till it's almost raw.
Yeah.
And Echo lives here in town, and Echo, I mean, when I see her, she drops to the ground, starts crying. She wants her belly rubbed for hours. She snuggles. I babysit her. She sits on my lap the whole time and stares out the window like she's my buddy. She makes me happy. She loves me unconditionally. Yeah. And another thing with my kids, I love to play Catan with my kids.
Yeah.
When my son and my daughter-in-law invite me over to their place to play Catan, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
They know that every Father's Day, every birthday, they know what I'm going to ask for. I always say, I want to come over and play Catan with you guys.
So if you play Catan every day, all day, you would be essentially eternally happy?
I think I would be. With my family.
You might get, but would you get, you'd probably get tired of that though. After
I think
a while.
Eventually. I think eventually.
So two things I would take away from what you just said. One is that you're happy and content and joyful when you're in a situation where you're loved unconditionally.
Yes.
I think everybody could say that, right? Like that. And I think that is a lot of kind of the root of maybe what we're getting at, because the reality is we get judged. We've talked about judgment in previous podcasts, and we get judged because of the mistakes we've made and the things that we've done, and we've heard people, we've done those things. And I understand that. Of course I do. But we've also talked about how forgiveness, acceptance, understanding without judgment, of course, creates an environment where we can feel loved and we can feel happiness and joy. Right. And the other thing that I take away from what you said is that community, like as in family dynamic, family community is super important too, because in that you share experiences of happiness and joy and the things that you love. And that gives you a really warm and fuzzy feeling that we're talking about today. And, you know, we've talked about that also in as far as like AA communities, Life Ring communities, like group therapy communities, where people can find solace and peace in talking about struggles, because the people, oftentimes those people, they don't know your baggage, so they accept it unconditionally.
Right.
Because you probably haven't hurt them, and so they don't have this preconceived notion of who you are. And you know, in that, it's freeing, of course.
Same as talking to a therapist or a psychologist. It's like
100%.
You haven't hurt them, right?
Yeah.
That's why you really shouldn't share a therapist with your wife or your mate. Like, it's just because they shouldn't know, because it's about you. It's a selfish thing when you go to a therapist. But you have to, and this is advice from a guy who's done a lot of it, is you got to be honest. I know people that go to therapy, and I don't think they tell the therapist everything about themselves. And if you're not being 100% honest with your therapist, you're wasting your time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're just there for them to agree with you about how everyone else is doing wrong and you're not, it's not going to help.
And I think ultimately, if you can't be 100% honest with your therapist, then you really need to start working on honesty, because that's a person who, of course, is going to support you, understand, they're going to try to, you know, help you through it. And so I think that this is a good moment to like just understand that honesty in your whole life with everyone that you're with will bring happiness and joy to yourself. Because you're free of the burdens of the things that you're holding inside, right?
It's a hard one.
It is hard, because I think a lot of times it takes a long time to really understand who we are and what we've done why we've made the mistakes that we've made. And so we go into like the shame, we go into the opposite of happiness, we go into like fear and sadness, and we live in that. We're able, as we just discussed, to find moments of happiness and joy, ideally every day. But really that comes, I think, as we're going through this conversation, true happiness is only going to come from loving yourself, as we talked about, loving who you are, accepting who you are, accepting your mistakes internally, right? And then taking the steps to find the things that make you happy. But again, that external, the stuff that we talked about at the beginning, the external stuff, it's good. It's good to find happiness in that external stuff and going to the beach and doing that. But I wouldn't say that I could spend the rest of my life just living at the beach, because I'm just focusing on one thing. Like I have to do the inner work to find the real happiness, I think, is
right. I think you would tire even of that, you know. You can get complacent so fast. You talked about the mountains. I remember when I was on a Harley trip, and when I first saw the Rockies, I was blown away. I'd never seen anything like that before. I live on the East Coast, and I was just moved. Like, I'm like, oh my God, the power. Like, I know why they used to worship things like this, right? It was just monumentous. And then after about 3 days, someone would say, hey, look, the mountains. I'm like, yeah, well, whatever. I don't really want to turn my head. I've seen that, you know. And it's, but everything's like that. It's like, Shonda makes fun of me because she'll find something, say, at Costco, some food, whatever it is. And I'll be, oh my gosh, this is the best thing I've ever had. Buy more, buy more, buy more. And within about 3 weeks, I'm like, don't ever buy that again.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. I make myself completely sick of something. I overindulge, and then I don't want it anymore.
I think that speaks to kind of like just the concept that we talked about earlier with addiction. We find something that we enjoy, and then we like almost overdo it
every day. Right?
It's like, it's like, okay,
can't be moderation.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right. And then you realize that it's temporary. Like, it's like, it's a temporary joy and happiness that you're experiencing from an outside source. And we've, you know, again, I think, of course, we're going to have lots of things that have come up in our previous podcasts, but today as a society, there's a lot of people that find happiness and joy in social media.
Absolutely. It's an epidemic.
Television, you know,
screens.
A lot of external stuff. And the reality of that external stuff to me is that it provides a temporary joy where it's almost unconscious. You go into this like unconscious state of, oh, I got a like, I got this, I got that. But it's not really, I don't know, it's not really a conscious form of real joy.
It's not going to last. And we steal from our own joy with these screens, with these phones. I know you do it and I appreciate it. I try to do it. It's like, if you're talking to me, I'm looking at my screen, you wait till I pay attention. You're not rude about it. You just wait till I'm paying attention to you. I do the same thing with people. It's a good way to be. I literally have a friend in front of me that I haven't seen, and I can't give my attention to him. Like, that's strange. Now, and even the phone, I can't, if I walk downstairs, I haven't got my phone, I go, oh, and I run upstairs to get my phone. I used to blame, sometimes it's business, it's a work day, I got to make sure I have it. But you know what? I do it on Sunday too. That's an I have to have it. Yeah. And the other thing I can't stand, and I see people do it, I don't do this. They've gone to see U2 in concert in Moncton, and it's blown. This is unbelievable. And I'm sitting there, and I'm singing With or Without You, or one of them, and I'm just moved. And someone's got their phone up going, I'm recording this. What are you doing? You're never going to watch that. Experience where you're at. You've walked for miles. You spent hundreds of dollars. You're at something you'll never be at again, and you're videotaping it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
The reality is it's all going to live up here.
Right.
You need it on your phone.
And there's a million videos of you too. Go watch them. you're never going to watch it. You're ruining it.
Probably not. You're losing. You're negating the experience by yes. watching it through your phone. And I think, you know, we are lucky as we're Gen Xers. We're yep. lucky, like baby boomers, Gen Xers. We didn't grow up with it. So, you know, the reality is, yeah, when we were kids, we played outside. You know, you went home when the street lights went out. You spent all your time outside with your friends.
You went and knocked on your friend's door to see if he was there.
That was a real experience of happiness and joy. And you know, if I think back to my childhood and I think back to like riding around on my BMX bike with my buddies. And
absolutely.
There was great joy in that. There was great happiness in that. And it was there was a freedom, a peacefulness almost to that. That was really like, you know, as a young person, you're like, you're free. You're out of your house. You're with your buddies and you're like on your bike and you're like looking at girls and like, you're just like,
you're independent. It developed us into men. It made us who we are.
There was a real happiness in that.
And nowadays they're connecting on their phone and you watch young people at concerts or events or whatever, or even going out to dinner. They are more concerned about getting the right Facebook picture or TikTok picture to make sure someone saw that they were at that concert than they are just being at the concert. And honestly, I'm going to swear here. So any kids listening, who gives a fuck what everybody else thinks about what you're doing? If you're not there to experience it, to live it, to breathe it in and be part of it, well, don't bother. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I think some of it, you know, just to take a slightly different stance. Some of it, people want to share, you know, that photo or that experience because they're finding some happiness in that and some joy in that. And so they're like, oh, look at this beautiful meal. And some people may, oh yeah, that is a beautiful meal. That's great. I'm happy for you. Right.
Yep.
But again, like that's like, if that's from like an inner circle group of your friends, okay, that's great. But like, if there's an outer circle group of people, like, I mean, I don't know. Does it really matter what they think? Anyway, I think people look for community and happiness in those places because they're not necessarily finding it in their personal, like, inner circle of people that are close to them, that are really in their lives and around them. And it is sad. And, you know, a friend of mine and I had a conversation about kids today and, like, just talking on the phone. Like, even as a really simple way of connecting, like, of course, when we were kids, you had to pick up the phone and have a conversation. And there was this weird video of this kid who was like, it was his first time calling his dentist to make an appointment. And he was so nervous. He didn't even know how to do it. He was like, okay, well, what do I say? Like, what do I ask? And the mom is like, just call and talk to the dentist to make an appointment. Like, it was such a disconnect.
Well, and this isn't really about happiness or whatever.
It's really about happiness or joy, but there's this disconnectedness.
Chris, to your point, this is my phone. Mm-hmm. This is called a phone. It's a Google Pixel 6 phone.
Yeah.
The thing I use it the least for is the phone.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
The phone is the least used app on this thing. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. And there's kids with them, like, to your point, that never use them as a phone. You know?
Yeah. I think what we're talking about, I guess, to circle back, is that, like, I don't really think that this is providing, you know, happiness and joy, right?
It's a catch 22. I was listening to what you said, and by the way, I want to preface all of what I'm saying. I'm guilty of everything that I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm this podcast is to help me become a better person and maybe help others become better people, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I don't want anyone to think that I'm sitting here put some judgment, like, oh, look what everyone does. Everything I've said, I've done. I probably still do. I get it. But I think sometimes talking about it maybe makes it connect in our brains. Like, I do that. But you said something. It's a catch 22. It's like they're using, I say Facebook. I'm sure the kids would laugh because probably they don't probably use Facebook, but social apps, social media. They use it to connect because they're not making any connection in real life, right? So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not making any connection in real life because all they use is social media, right? Like, it's what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? Like, I'm sure there's lots of kids that have made, listen, there's lots of people that meet their mates online,
100%.
You know, which is used to be like, oh, really? Now it's the norm.
Yeah.
You know, so it does good things for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know there's very, very smart people studying all of this, all the effects of it. I'm sure it's, and then we also have the Illuminati that run everything, all these big wigs. I'm sure that all these corporations, all they want is us using them. So it's an addiction that they want to force. Like they're the drug dealer. They're doing everything they can to make sure you use it more, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think, like, to circle back to happiness and joy, the thing that I think I realize is that these external things, I mean, I just, actually, I'm just going to back up. The thing about the phones and all these things is that they are creating a generation of kids that have ADHD, that have mental disorders, that have
social disorders,
depression. All these things are happening because we're always kind of like trying to look for people's places and things to make us happy externally. But right. but what I realize at this point in my life, at this stage in my life, that those external things do not make me happy. They make me comfortable. You know,
complacent.
They make me comfortable, but they don't provide inner peace and joy and happiness. They don't. And so we had a conversation when I was out there about various stages of my parents and what happened, like after my dad passed away and when my mom moved and all these things. And I told you about how, you know, people collect stuff. They want their stuff around them. And again, some of that can go into a category of addiction, but they find a certain happiness and joy in their stuff. But eventually their stuff, it all goes into a dumpster and it goes into the landfill. And you come to realize that there's a certain aspect to life when you get into like a really simple place, like a Buddhist monk. Like we all kind of know what a Buddhist monk looks like, in that they live a very, very simple life. They have no possessions. They have like one robe that they wear every day, and they spend their days meditating and praying. But I think that we all understand that they are in a very peaceful place that probably provides
it's enlightenment. It's
happiness, joy. It's enlightenment. It's a state of peace of mind. And so again, all that external stuff that we're talking about, all the social media, all the material possessions, they are not the things that ultimately are going to provide happiness and joy. They're not.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I have things, we all do. I haven't got any budget for a lot of things, but I like buying little Lego sets and I like building them. I get joy out of that. I still like reading comics and stuff like that. But, you know, nothing, and I mean this, with nothing feels, none of that stuff feels anything like getting a hug from my wife, a real hug, or my children, or my daughter-in-laws, my dog, my granddogs, like that. I would give it all up for if I had to give up hugs to them. I'd give it all up. And your point is well taken. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listened to one called The Economics of Everyday Things. And yesterday I was listening to one on storage.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The storage bin, like the
storage units.
Yeah. Storage units. Yeah. There's more storage units now than apartments, I think. Because we have too much stuff.
Way too much.
And they said they were originally made so like if you were moving, you need a temporary place, or you had, you know, maybe you had an office at home and you had to use space or whatever. They said, but then it's literally become just places for people to put their stuff that they can't put in their, like George Carlin talked about it in an old bit. You have a box, you live in a box and you fill it with boxes, and you get too many boxes, you gotta buy a bigger box, you know. Now we're buying boxes. And they said that It's funny though. I kind of like what he said about what's the next generation after us? Why or the millennials? They're using them in a different way because a lot of them can't afford homes, so they use them to keep their canoe or their kayak or their bicycle. So and he said you notice it because people our generation we have them, we never go there once a year maybe. He said those guys come in, they get their boat, they go out, they come back. They said they're coming and going all the time. It's like having a garage not attached to their house. That's a little different. I think that makes sense. But if you have to, I had one for a while. I was using it for when you work for Kingstown. For we had this one time where I got all my Leons and Sleep Country POP, which only means something to you, but I had way too much. I couldn't put it anywhere. So I went and rented this spot. And I got rid of it pretty quick. I didn't need it more than a few weeks, but I kept it for a while and I had stuff in it. And I said to Shonda one day, I said, if we have stuff that we can't fit inside this house, and you gotta admit, I don't have a huge house, but it's a big enough house. We really don't need that stuff. There's gotta be a way to make it all fit in here, or we should throw something out, man. Like this is getting ridiculous. So we did. We got rid of it. So
And I mentioned to you when I was out there because we were talking about like kind of getting rid of some stuff. There was that whole Marie Kondo phase where it was all about minimalism, and it was, I think she's Japanese,
yes.
and I think it, we could see Japanese people, many of them, as living a very kind of Zen, simplistic life. Like their houses quite simple. They sleep on mats on the floor, and
They sit
there's
on the
very
floor.
chairs. To me, that's very appealing.
Me too.
I like the simplicity of that, and I think, and I'm going through it right now. I'm literally like, I'm selling a lot of things. A lot of possessions that I'm just looking at thinking, it's like you find a sweater in your closet that you've had for 3 years. I mentioned, like, if you haven't worn it in 3 years, you don't need it.
Right.
And so there's
And
a
there's somebody who does need it. So,
absolutely. I would much rather see somebody walking down the street in my sweater tomorrow going, oh, look, he looks good in that, and he's comfortable, and he's got a new sweater that he got
absolutely.
for $10. And
Right.
there is a joy in sort of giving to others. And like just touching on happiness and joy, like I know that we are experiencing a lot of joy in being able to communicate some of our ideas in an effort to help other people. But yeah, I'm like I say, I'm going through it right now. I'm shedding a lot of I'm like shedding my skin in a way to sort of change who I am, because I am looking for a more sense of inner peace. I've gone through it with my addiction. I feel like I'm really at the other side of it now. I feel positive. I know I've made mistakes, but I'm not dwelling on them. And I'm really like living in the moment, and I'm really trying to shed those material possessions that I realize do not provide happiness and joy for me. They're just attachments. And
Same when your computer doesn't work, man. You're rebooting. Sometimes you're just rebooting. It's time to start fresh.
yeah,
And you're doing great, man. You're doing great.
I started going through photo albums. I mean, we all collect photo albums, right? And now with my phone, I can carry photos around. And of course, it's nice. It feels joyful, and it makes me happy to look at photos of happy times in my life. Those are little things I can do in a day to feel good. But I started throwing out photo albums because I took pictures of some of my favorite photos, but I probably had, I don't know, 1,000 photos in these photo albums, and I probably took 20 pictures out of them on my phone now, and I just threw them all out. I'm like, I don't need these anymore. I have the memories in my mind. I have the feeling in my heart from those moments, and that's all I need. So it's been cathartic. It's because I just am coming to an understanding that really the ultimate happiness and joy that I'm looking for is in myself. It's in my heart. It's in my soul. And I am working on myself. I continue to work on my self-love. I do that daily. I read that self-love definition now. I do my meditations and my prayers, and those are the things that kind of quiet my mind. And I'm detaching myself from the material possessions in order to just find that inner peace and that peace of mind that we saw in that definition.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I think it's the right move. I would like to do more decluttering.
Yeah.
I used to laugh that say that we're basically organized hoarders, you know, like we have a lot of stuff. And I'm not blaming my wife for that. It's me too. She likes to keep everything, and it's just the way she is.
Yeah.
But, and I'm that way too, but I'm starting to work at it. I'm making a little progress. I'm selling a few things. I want to get rid of a few things. I like my sister's place. My sister's become really minimalistic.
Yeah.
And I like it. It's very calming and peaceful. And my youngest son's doing it too. I don't know if he's doing it on purpose, but my goodness, it's a good feeling.
It like, is like it is
so,
calming.
It is like I find like our bedroom, and I know I've had a hard time sleeping in the bedroom for many reasons, but even when your bedroom is cluttered, your mind's cluttered.
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
It's not what your bedroom should be. Your bedroom should be peaceful and minimal and a candle burning and like not a TV, but I have a TV in my room. I always have. Like that was my big, I remember the first time I got one, how much it, but I think these things bring you joy, but I think sometimes, like I just said, you have to reboot and say, it doesn't bring you joy anymore. It
it's
did.
It's a false sense of joy, I think.
But I also think it's a different part in our life. When I was young, like, you're growing and you're gathering, you know, you got kids, I had kids and I'm my wife and you want to show the world and you want stuff. I want TVs. I want cars. I want motorcycles. I want stuff I own. I want this. I want this. I want. But then you kind of hit that. It's like you said, I'm climbing the mountain. Life is kind of like a mountain and you hit the top and then you start going down the other side.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, I don't need all that stuff I collected all the way. You know, I think it's time for a change. And you're a little bit ahead of me. And listen, we're not on the exact same paths either, but
no one is.
Is there any, I know, you know, I always get a kick out of this podcast because I swear we could talk for 4 hours and it wouldn't even fizz me, but I'm sure people wouldn't listen for 4 hours. But before we move on, is there anything, I like this episode. It didn't go exactly like I thought. But I like what we talked about. I mean, I heard someone say the other day that their whole mantra in life was promote happiness and reduce suffering.
Yeah.
And if you're promoting happiness all over the world and doing your best to reduce suffering over the world, even if it's your little world, I think that's a good thing. I really like that. Promote happiness, reduce suffering.
I love
I'm
it.
Going to try. I'm going to try.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah, I'll read the meaning of joy since we're talking about it. I haven't done that yet. So what is the true meaning of joy? A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. The true definition of joy goes beyond the limited explanation presented in the dictionary, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, as I just said. True joy is a limitless, life-defining, transformative reservoir waiting to be tapped into. It requires the utmost surrender and, like love, is a choice to be made.
Wow. Like love is a choice to be made.
Yeah.
So whether you have joy in your life, that's really up to you.
Joy is a limitless, life-defining, transformative reservoir waiting to be tapped into.
But that's funny. It's not like something's bringing you joy. It's about you have to find joy. You have to be joyful. You have to become joy. You have to give joy. I think giving is a big part of happiness. And I wanted to make sure I touch on that because, and I know my friends and family will agree with this. Nothing has ever made me happier than giving. I like picking up the tab at dinner, not because I'm thrown off, because I like buying people I love dinner. Christmas time, I like getting gifts, but man, I loved giving gifts. Oh my goodness. The look on my kids' eyes and my wife when I gave her a diamond ring and oh my goodness, I love giving gifts. And I like giving joy to people. I like making people happy. Like I play fantasy football and you know what? I won once, but I was so happy when my son won. He played for years and he finally won. That made me much happier than when I won. So I definitely know that giving is a big part of being happy. I know it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know the saying, it's better to give than receive.
It is.
Right. And that, you know, it's in the Bible, of course, you know,
I mean, receiving's not bad, but
it's more blessed to give than to receive. And there was another quote that I'm sure that I've quoted it on the podcast before, but it's something to the effect that, you know, you take, when you die, you take with you all of your own, you know, all of your own thoughts, but what you leave behind is like basically the impression that you've given to others.
That's
or,
it.
You know, and
that's all you leave. You leave. That's why I'm trying to help people with my group, and it's not a big deal. I'm trying. I've helped people I know in the past, but you know what? I hope that one day when I'm gone, people remember, they'll think, oh yeah, I remember Sean. He helped my dad, or he helped me, or he helped. That's, and I hope my kids and my friends remember me, that I don't have to be a hero. I hope that you remember me as, well, Sean was a good guy. He was a positive thing in my life, not a negative thing. And I know I haven't done that for everybody. I know there's people that I've disappointed, and I just hope in the long run that I got more check marks than X's, you know. I hope so.
And I think we can continue to strive for that today. But I think that we're most capable to give when we're in a place of self-love and personal joy and personal happiness. And through in talking in this podcast, we realize that most of those things come from an internal feeling of internal self-happiness and internal self-love, right? And then we're much more able to give.
Right.
Than that.
Right. Right. Well, no, if you got your, well, I mean, there's a person that works with my wife. I don't know her really. I've met her a few times. We always seem to be at her work at the same time, and she's such a nice person. I don't know. I don't think she has a lot, like, financially.
Yeah.
She's always buying us stuff and giving us stuff. She's the nicest person. She buys us this box meal. She gave us a plant this week. She's always sending stuff home. She's always saying nice things to me. She's a joy to be. She's just a joy to be around. It blows my mind how nice this person is, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? There's all kinds of places. Like, I have a couple doctors that are like that. Nurses.
Yeah.
I've had nurses that I know what they're dealing with, and they come in and they make my day.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to a bunch of nurses, you and I. I mean, who gets to talk to nursing classes? We got to. It was really neat. And I won't repeat it because we talked about it already, but you know, I got joy out of that. They gave me something. It was amazing.
I totally did too. Yeah. It was an amazing experience. And I can only assume that those people that are, you know, giving of themselves, that they must have a certain happiness and joy in their own self.
Right.
Because right. if you're living in a selfish state, you don't tend to give. You're really just trying to, like, you're really just taking. You're taking. And I know that we both did that in our addiction. We were taking for our own gain. We weren't in the proper mindset to give. And you know, that there, you realize that when you do, like, get sober, that you're in a place, much more of a place to give, because you feel okay with yourself. You're happier. You're more joyful. And you realize, as we just mentioned, that giving is way better than taking or receiving.
Absolutely. And the last point I want to make, and this is going to sound very corny, and I know we all know this, but what makes us happy, the biggest thing I think in our life that we can zero down to for my life is the people we love. And if you don't think that's true, think of all the people you love and picture if one of them's gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Think about how you'd feel. Think about the last words you say to those people. You know, Shonda and I tried for years. We didn't always win it, but we always said we wouldn't go to bed angry. You know, I always want to kiss her before she leaves for work. I don't want the last thing I said to my wife to be something miserable. I really don't. And as long, not just my wife, you, my children, my friends, even my dad, who I have just been so horrendously angry with over the years.
Yeah.
It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't. It is what it is, man. Life has got us to where we are, you know. I know it's probably time to wrap up, but I'm going to recommend a book. But I also, I'm not even done this show yet, but I want to recommend a show we're watching called Dark Matter.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Isn't that wild? And it made me think of what we're talking about. And I haven't seen the end yet, but I'm only a couple episodes in, but it's amazing how this guy lives his life, but then there's an intersection where he figures out some like a multiverse, and he goes and gets to live his life the way he wished, like the path not chosen. Blows me away. You imagine if you had a chance to stop and say, okay, here, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't see, maybe it all ends horribly, but so far I think it's like, holy
it's
shit.
It's a great show. And I think what you can take from it is that there is always an opportunity to be in an alternate reality. Just because whatever reality you were in yesterday, whether it was depression, sadness, upset, anger, anything that was kind of negative, you can make the choices today to not be there. You can do things to find joy and happiness. You can go for a walk in the woods. You can go to the beach. You can listen to nice music. You can dance. You can talk on the phone with a friend. You can listen to a comedy show and laugh. There are little things that you can do every day. You can read, you can meditate, you can pray, all these different things.
It builds it. You know, happiness builds endorphins. I learned that when I was going through, like they tell you to go watch a funny movie, go laugh, go. The more you are happy, the more you smile, the more you laugh, the better you will physically feel, like chemically feel. It's amazing.
You mentioned it recently about smiling versus frowning. I think there was something to do with what?
It takes more energy to frown than smile.
Yeah. Well,
more muscles.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Really? Like,
and I find even when you and I get on this podcast, I wasn't in a good mood when we started, but within 5 minutes, even before we got on, I started laughing. There's something about just talking to a friend about goofy stuff, and I start smiling. I couldn't help it because even you're talking about what I was telling you, oh, my hair's bugging me and my skin, and I started laughing, thinking about how stupid I sound. You know, it's like, it's smiling is just easier. It's just easier. I had a girl. Oh, I'm saying this to you. I had a girl at the, I don't know if you were with me, but it was at a drive-thru window just the last couple of weeks. And she didn't say, have a good day. She said, I want you to have an amazing day.
Yeah.
You know where it was? It was at the dump. I was taking a load to the dump, and you got to pay the girl going out. And she just handed me this thing. She said, I want you to have an amazing day. And I'm like, you too.
So
it's an amazing day. You're working at the dump. And you were so happy. I'm like, and she literally made me think, you know what? Okay. I'm going to go try to have an amazing day. You know,
that's such a little thing, eh?
Yeah. It blew my mind. And it might not have been an amazing, whatever she said, it wasn't the standard, have a good day.
Yeah.
It was just this.
It wasn't like automated. You could tell that it actually came from a beautiful,
she meant
kind
it. She meant it. It was just like, it's like I told you, I was in North Carolina that time, and there was this girl, I think she was from India or something, very sweet girl. She was selling this hand cream made in the Dead Sea, right? And she came over, she started rubbing my hand. She goes, so do you like it or do you love it? Do you like it or do you love it?
Right.
I bought it.
Yeah.
That was 25 years ago. And I never forgot that girl.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
like it or do you love it?
Right.
How's that for a sales pitch?
That's awesome.
Even selling a mattress. So do you like it or do you love it?
You don't even have a choice to not like it at that point. You only have two choices, like or love.
That's it. Like,
great.
You know, I just train people in selling. And when you sell, you never give people a chance to say yes or no.
That would be a great, easy. That would be a great, you know, thing to put on your mirror in the morning. Do you like yourself or do you love yourself?
You're right. That is good.
How positive is that?
No other option.
I didn't even give you the option.
Do you like it or do you love it?
Do you like yourself or do you love yourself?
Because even if you go, well, I just like it this morning, that's still pretty good. That's still pretty good. Yeah. You know what? I think I have a million other things to say, but I think we've got to wrap it up.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'm going to make my recommendation too.
Absolutely.
I'm on another one, Eckhart Tolle.
Shocking.
Yeah, a new earth, awakening to your life's purpose.
Awakening to your life's purpose. Awesome. Is that an older book or a newer one by him?
It's been around for a while. It is from 2005.
Okay.
I'm just going to read a little segment here because it relates to what we're talking about. The joy of being, which is the only true happiness, cannot come to you through any form, possession, achievement, person, or event, or through anything that happens. The joy cannot come to you ever. It emanates from the formless dimension within you, from consciousness itself, and thus is one with who you are.
We almost said the exact same thing. And we didn't, yeah. And I didn't even think I was going to say that. We just kind of got there.
Yeah.
You have to be the joy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Joy. This is the joy. We're in trouble. Holy cow.
Do you like yourself or do you love yourself?
Well, I guess I like myself at the very least. I have to. Well, I'm into a couple books right now. I was going to recommend the one I was reading, but I want to finish it before I recommend it. That one by Paul Scheer I got, but I do have a book I want to recommend, and that's a great recommendation. I'm going to get to those books you've told me about. Yeah. I almost recommended Backbone. That's a book you gave me.
Oh, yes.
I love that book, but I just said it, but I'm going to talk about it someday. Yeah. But I wanted to recommend this book. It's by a guy named Robert Persig. Yeah. My sister gave it to me years ago and I've read it a couple times. And it's called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Yes, I've read it as well.
Yeah, it's a great book. And I didn't highlight something, but I'll just read just a couple lines off the back. It's a motorcycle trip undertaken by a father and his son. It becomes a personal and philosophical odyssey into fundamental questions on how to live. The narrator's relationship with his son leads to a powerful self-reckoning. The craft of motorcycle maintenance leads to an austerely beautiful process for reconciling science, religion, and humanism. Yeah. And that is unbelievable to me. Because I struggle with religion and science and whether it's just us. And this book, I think this book is amazing. I think it's underappreciated, or maybe it's overappreciated. I don't know. But it's an awesome book if anyone wants a good read.
Totally agree. Yeah, awesome.
I guess we don't have an official sign off.
Goodbye.
Let's work on a sign off. Yeah. Maybe we have one. Do you like it or do you love it?
Yeah,
exactly. Maybe that'll be our new sign off. We'll take that little girl's sales pitch as our sign off.
Great mantra.
Well, listen, you have a good day.
Thank you.
I got a lot to do today.
We could have delayed a day because we're one day short of my birthday, which is tomorrow.
I'm well aware.
Yes. Yeah.
I have an email reminder to remind me of your birthday. And today I've talked to you about Rob, my oldest friend, my best friend from grade two. It's his birthday today. So cool. These are a big couple days for me.
Birthday to Rob.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Rob. Shout out to the man. If I don't talk today, we'll talk tomorrow for sure.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Love you, brother.
Today was full of joy and happiness.
It was. It was.
Good stuff.
All right.
Love you too, man. Have a great day.
You too.
Looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing
See ya.
Of yesterday. Yeah.